Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Strictly Hoop Talk. As always, I'm your host, Chris Platy, and returning to the Strictly Hoop Talk podcast for the first time in a while. You've heard him a lot on my hip-hop podcast, but it's been a while since he's been on the Strictly Hoop Talk side of the podcast, and that is my guy, Kenneth Inge, the guy who runs Dead End Hip-Hop, Dead End Sports, Dead End Gaming, Dead End everything, man. Busy guy. Ken, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm chilling. Brother Platy.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm excited. We're looking at the final stretch of the NBA season, the last 20 or so games. We're going to take a look at each Eastern and Western Conference playoff bracket and look at the bottom and the top and kind of the storylines going into the final couple weeks of the regular season. So, Ken, do you have a preference? Where do you want to start, East or West?
I say let's start in the East.
All right, let's start in the East. Let's keep it to our conference, that is. Currently, actually, as we're recording this, funny enough, my Pistons and your Hawks are playing each other right now as we speak. But in the Eastern Conference, so the top two seeds are pretty much solidified. There's a pretty big gap between Milwaukee and Toronto and the rest of the top of the East, which is Indiana, Philly, and Boston. So I expect those two to hold on. So to me, the interesting thing is the bottom half, and that's Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Detroit are the last three spots, with Orlando, Miami, and Washington on the outside. Brooklyn has a 1.5 game advantage in the sixth seed over the Hornets, and the Hornets have a half game over the Pistons, and the Pistons have a half game over the Orlando Magic and Miami Heat, who are tied, and the Wizards are a couple games back of that. So, Ken, kind of just give me, you know, your thoughts on that lower half, those last three seeds in the East. Do you think the three teams we have now, Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Detroit, is what we're going to have in April, or do you see one of those teams like Orlando and Miami jumping in?
You know, it's hard to tell. Like, you know, we've seen the Heat normally have pretty good runs after the All-Star break when things get a little bit more serious. You know, they're quite an enigma because they don't really have a star. And, you know, at one point I thought Justice Winslow was coming around and really taking over as the guy, but he's kind of falling off a little bit as of lately and kind of been back to average. But, you know, I think looking at that bottom three, I think it'll hold. I think based on what I've seen from Blake Griffin, he loves playing in Detroit. He's saying all the right things. He's the number one guy. And Dwayne Casey, we know he can coach. And I think it's just taking him some time to kind of get used to the pieces he has there, figure out the rotations. You know, he's dumped some what he considered, I would imagine, dead weight. And he got the guy he's going to work with. So he's in the middle of making the playoffs and slash rebuilding around Blake Griffin. But I think when I look at the Pistons, the Magic, and the Heat, I think those three will fight for that last spot. And you know what? I'm going to throw a bit of a wild card in here, actually. I say look out for the Wizards. And the reason why is that I think Bradley Beal, Bobby Portis, I think he can probably try to elevate that team to that eight spot. And with John Wall gone, with him being the focal point, it wouldn't shock me if he puts the team on his back and try to get them into that eight spot. And I think it's a spot that could be open for him. So I'm going to throw them in the mix too.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready to write off Washington just because they've been a dumpster fire all season. But you know what? With Bradley Beal and the pieces that they have and the way the Eastern Conference is shaken out, it's certainly not a surprise. Would you have Washington jumping Charlotte or Detroit or Brooklyn? Which of those teams would you have them jumping if you see them making it?
So for Washington, their only chance at getting in would be the eight seed. So I would say Detroit. So I would say
there is only a half a game difference though right now between Charlotte and Detroit. So those two could essentially flip flop either way at this point.
Yeah, they could, and I think is how much do we believe in Kemba Walker as the
Right.
guy, and that's the question. So, man, I hate to say it, maybe Detroit, man. I know they've been playing. When you really look at the makeup of that team, I think the reason why they're in the eighth seed is because they're in the East.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the losing record, but I think they could be up for grabs, considering the state of the team and the roster and the pieces that they got rid of.
Yeah, man. Detroit's just it's a mess. Blake Griffin's phenomenal, but everything else around that just does not fit whatsoever. And it's a pretty rough situation. Really, the only thing that's healed Detroit lately is Reggie Jackson is playing well. And when Reggie Jackson had his worst month stretch from December to January, the Pistons coincidentally had their worst stretch. And I know Reggie Jackson's not good. I've been on the bandwagon to get him out of here, but he's better than what we have, so we need him as Piston fans to do well, and that's the key to the Pistons making the eighth seed or the seventh or maybe even rising to the sixth. But the key, the interesting thing with me in the Eastern Conference is there's a little bit of a storyline that I want to watch, and that's Indiana. So right now, Indiana obviously lost Victor Oladipo for the rest of the season. And they hold a half a game lead over Philadelphia, game and a half lead over Boston. So they're just barely holding on to that three seed right now. I don't expect them to hold on to it, but if they do, it would be really interesting because there's the four consensus teams in the East, right? Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, and Boston. And if Indiana holds on to that third seed, that means Philly and Boston have to face in the first round. And to me, with those two teams with championship aspirations, can both of those teams, either one of them, going home in the first round, that would be a crushing blow. With the Celtics, that could almost certainly spell Kyrie Irving leaving. Philadelphia, would they want to pay money to Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler if they lost in the first round to the Boston Celtics? So it's a very interesting thing, and I think it could have major ramifications on the future of the Eastern Conference, really, if you think about it, Ken.
Yeah, I agree, and we all expect Indiana to fall off, and eventually either get into, I would say they could probably fall as low as seven, losing Oladipo, who was a big piece on that team, but if things were to hold the way they are, and the Boston Celtics sisters end up facing each other in the first round, and somebody go home. Yeah, that's not going to be a good look. And if I was a betting man, I would bet on the just to take out the Sisters because they just seem to have their number. And sometimes that's just the way things go in basketball. So, and I think that's why it would be probably a little bit more detrimental to the 76ers than the Celtics because what does that say about that particular roster that they have, that with all of those talented pieces, with they go four deep in terms of stars, if you want to throw Tobias there. What happens with them? Because now at the end of the day, you still can beat the Celtics. They were your nemesis. So you start looking at those guys and you start looking at Jimmy Butler, especially depending on how it goes down. So you start looking at Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, how does he play in a playoff environment? What happens with Ben Simmons, MB, all of those pieces. And you start looking at also Brett Brown, because if you have the talent, if you have the roster in the starting five and the bench, then it's coaching. And what happened to him last year against the Celtics, to go out and replicate that again in the playoffs, that's not going to be a good look, and he could be out of there.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think if either one of those teams went home in the first round, there's some type of major change happening. With the Celtics, you wouldn't assume it's Brad Stevens. You would assume a roster movement, trades, or just letting Kyrie go and then trying to rebuild around their young guys instead and kind of play the long game. But with Philly, you're right. Brett Brown absolutely would 100% be on the hot seat if he were to lose to Boston in the first round, and he might even be on the hot seat if he doesn't get out of the second round too. You know, because I mean, all four of these teams have title aspirations. They all think that they can make it to the NBA Finals and compete with, we presume, the Golden State Warriors. And so, you know, anything less than that is going to be a disappointment. And the fact of the matter is, three of those four teams are going to be disappointed come June. And and so there's going to be major ramifications. And I think the seeding could play a big factor in that. So let's jump to the West now, because we're talking about the Warriors. That to me is where we'll start. We'll get into the bottom of the race and if we think the Lakers and will make it and all that. But to me, the other thing to watch in the West is where Golden State ends, because you're already seeing Houston. James Harden had an interview with Rachel Nichols on ESPN, and he talked about specifically chasing the third seed. And the reason he said that, and the reason why it stuck with me, is because the three seed or the two seed, if they land on that side of the bracket, they will be on the opposite side of the bracket and won't have to play the Warriors till the Western Conference Finals. So that shows that Harden saying that means it is heavily on his mind that he wants to make a charge and a push for that third seed and knock OKC back to the fourth and get on the other side of the bracket. Now they are 4.5 games back as we speak with that loss to the Lakers last night. That really complicates things, and that's a lot of ground to make up. Ken, with Harden playing the way he's playing, you've seen them winning more games, but maybe not winning at a great clip or a great enough clip to reach a three seed. I mean, where do you see Houston falling in the Western Conference?
With the Rockets, I can see them getting as high as four. And the reason why I say that is because of the Blazers. And while I believe in Lillard, while I believe in McCollum, I don't believe in that roster. And I think that they could end up slipping, you know, as the Rockets continue to get healthier and they kind of start to get back to the way they played last. Now that Chris Paul is back and Capella is back, and we'll see what Adam does in terms of, you know, adjusting their style of play to fit the pieces that have returned. So that's going to be on him. So if they eventually end up doing that, I can see them getting as high as four, but that's it. Because we're seeing Paul George play at an elite level right now. We know defensively, you know, how they get down. And, you know, Westbrook is a stat stuffer. He does it all. And if he ever finds his jumper and his free throw shooting, then that's going to only take them to another level. So for the Rockets, I think getting off to the slow start that they did, they're going to have to pay for it. So I only see them getting as high as four.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see them reaching that three seed. I think at best they swap and get home court against Portland, and they gotta just pray that the Warriors kind of go lackadaisical and shut it down, and Denver somehow gets the one seed over them. Just quickly, because we mentioned the Thunder, I just mentioned the Nuggets, we talked about the Rockets. Of those teams, who do you think is right now the biggest threat in the Western Conference to Golden State, and how real of a threat are they?
Of the teams that you mentioned.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could pick anyone in the West, truthfully, but to me, it kind of comes down between three teams: Denver, Oklahoma, and Houston.
I would say the Thunder. You know,
Yeah.
Jokic can play. He's a bad boy. He's a star, man. He's like a modern age Arvydas Sabonis. You know, I really admire and love the way, you know, his whole game. But they still don't have, as much as a star as he is, they still play very Spurs-like, whereas it's all in, is everybody kind of contributing. And so I think the Thunder, man, and with the way Paul George is playing and the defense that they play, I can see them being a threat because, you know, Westbrook with his intensity takes it very, very serious. And he could go toe-to-toe, he meaning Paul George, can go toe-to-toe with Durant. And that leaves Westbrook, of course, being a threat and a force, you know, against Curry. So then that leaves everybody else. And that's where guys like Klay and Boogie, you know, come into play. And that's where, of course, they would get the advantage. But that's where you also have their lockdown defense can also, you know, cause problems for the Warriors. So I think if anybody out of those two, it would be the Thunder, because at the end of the day, you still need to be able to give the ball to somebody and say, hey, go get me a bucket or go take me home. And with the Thunder, they have that in Paul George.
Yeah, 100%, man. Paul George is playing like the third MVP candidate right now. He is absolutely out of his mind, exceptional. Both ends of the floor, like you said. I mean, he'd be my pick for defensive player of the year today, just with how good he is on the perimeter, and not to mention, you know, how he's playing on offense. And so I agree. I think the Thunder are the biggest threat to the Warriors right now. And, you know, plus, Ken, like, we know that with Westbrook, it's super personal against Golden State. So that kind of takes it another level, too, right? So I like what the Thunder are doing this year. I like the way they played. They've come together better than I thought. And, you know, an interesting thing is what Andre Roberson, if he can come back and what he can be for the Thunder, what he can be defensively. Like, if he could be another guy that can just be a body to throw on a Clay, on a Durant, on a Curry, and he can do elite defense, then I think OKC has a pretty real shot, because Boogie is not going to bully Steven Adams. And he's not so OKC is going to be a team that can play physical with Golden State to a level that they're uncomfortable. And we've seen in the past, Ken, like, all of Golden State's biggest series and biggest troubles were Memphis, Cleveland, all those teams that just made it ugly for them, made it physical, made them grind it out. So I'm with you 100%. I think OKC is the best threat to knock off the Golden State Warriors. I mean, right now, would you say, give me a percentage? I mean, what kind of percentage would you think is the likelihood of OKC actually winning the series when it comes down to it, though?
So let's see. So that's a good point about Steven Adams and Boogie. Yep. Because Steven Adams is no punk, so he can be just as physical. And then, you know, Jeremy Grant, I've been down on him in the past, but he's definitely improved his game some this year. So he's definitely impacting the game offensively in a positive way. Dennis Schroeder, I think, has been a great trade acquisition for them, because, you know, they don't lose much when they go to the bench. So he can come in and play meaningful minutes and keep things going for Oklahoma. And if Roberson is back, that's a good point about Clay. Percentage. I'm trying to talk myself into a percentage by naming all this stuff. Nerlens Noel, forgot about him.
Yep.
The Warriors are still the Warriors, man.
Yeah.
I would give them a 30 to 40% chance.
Yeah, that's about the ballpark. Yeah, that's about what I'm sitting at, and I think it's, you know, again, they wouldn't be the favorites by any means, but I think, you know, push comes to shove, we've seen the tension, the inner tension that exists between that team too in the Warriors, things can get haywire, and we forget how close Golden State was to losing last year in the playoffs. And so, you know, despite them being this unbeatable team, every team is beatable at the end of the day. So that being said, I'm not betting against the Warriors losing at all. Let's talk the bottom of the Western Conference, though. We got the Clippers, the Spurs, the Sacramento Kings, and the Lakers. So it's a four-team race for two spots, in my opinion. I mean, I guess you could throw in Utah, too, since they're tied with San Antonio. But they're most likely in. Of those four to five teams, you know, in those three spots, I mean, who do you think gets those spots? Right now it's Utah, San Antonio, and the Clippers, with the Kings and Lakers looking out. Do you think it stays like that, or do you think one of those teams in Sacramento or LA jumps in?
Well, the Lakers are going to get in. That's without a doubt. So we know the Clippers are going to fall out. They've given up on the season. They have no desire to make the playoffs. So it's really going to be up to Doc Rivers and the guys that he has on that team, but they just don't have enough. So when you start playing some of those top tier teams, those are going to be losses that's going to pile up. We saw what LeBron was able to do last night. I do have some concerns based on how that game went. But I think it could be it could be a key game for them and how they came together. The Kings, I love everything about the Kings, man. I love De'Aaron Fox. You know, I love Buddy Hield. You know, Bagley's, you know, a guy that's been Bogdanović has come in. So and they really believe that they belong. So I like them a lot, and I say that because of just what happened last night and how tough they played the Warriors. And Bagley's like, man, we're right there. We just got to figure out how to get over the hump. You know, that says something to me. So for me, they would be the one team that would concern me when it comes to that eighth spot. But I think experience matters, and they don't have a LeBron. So when these games become crucial, I can see them, you know, faltering. And when the Lakers get Lonzo back and they get fully healthy, they can get back to the way they were playing before LeBron got hurt. So then you're looking at the Jazz, and so the Jazz, they got off to a slow start. They finally turned things around. Donovan Mitchell is playing good ball again. So then you're looking at the Spurs, and they're 33-6, 26, just with the greatness of Pop. Like, let's be real. Yeah. And I know they got Aldridge, and I know they got DeRozan, but that's it. That's really all they got. So Pop could keep them in the seventh spot, but it wouldn't surprise me if things just went south for them, because they have their moments, and they're not really good on the road either. So I think with that eighth spot, I think that's the only one that's up for grabs, honestly. I think the Lakers will get it. I'll pick LeBron over the Clippers and the Kings.
Yeah, that's kind of what it comes down to me. You know, this is really the ultimate test of my two rules in sports. Don't bet against the Spurs and don't bet against LeBron. And so that's kind of how I see things shaking out, is LeBron's going to find a way to get that A seed. You're right, there was a lot of concern. They had to play Kuzma a lot at the five. There were stretches where everybody on the Lakers roster on offense just looked uncomfortable outside of LeBron. And, you know, and so there are real concerns there. But at the end of the day, I think you're right. I think I'm a little bit higher on where the Clippers are at than you right now, but I still don't see them as a team that's better than the Lakers if they go head-to-head right now. And I don't trust them, even though they have a lot of depth, I don't trust them to sustain this level of play over the rest of the season as these games and the pressure increases. And Sacramento, you know, I love them. They've done very well, like you said, this year. They're an easy team to root for. They're a fun team to watch. I love everything they're doing. They got a bright future, but I just think that this is, as Buddy Hield talked about, that bitter taste in their mouth that they, I think that's kind of an analogy for how this season is going to go for them. I think this is going to be a season where they're just going to be right on the verge of that, and it's going to come down to that final week of this regular season, and the Lakers are just going to find a way to take it, and the Kings and Clippers will be on the outside. And the Kings, you know, that'll be a good little hunger check, and, you know, and kind of a motivation for that young team. That's kind of how I see things playing out. What is, you know, you talked about your concerns. Are your concerns the same as mine with the Lakers, that the players just don't look comfortable outside of LeBron, and they're just, their roster just doesn't really fit around him too well at this point?
You know, well, here's the thing. I think it can fit. I think it's going to come down to Walt and finally figure out what he's going to do with the rotations. The man has been all over the place, and you know, and even when they were healthy, he just doesn't know how to put these pieces together. But what I saw from them last night when they were down, and they looked like they were the trade season was still somewhat lingering, of course, the All-Star break. But I love the way that, and I don't know what happened, and it's only one game, but it seemed like there was a fundamental shift in Brandon Ingram's game, and he attacked the basket a lot more than he has been before. And he thinks he's a jump shooter, and he's just not fully there yet. But his ability to get to his spots – was somewhat LeBron like last night.
Yeah, definitely.
And if he could, yeah, and if he could continue to do that and just become that second threat, he looked way more relaxed and composed, and he was picking spots a lot better than he has in the past when LeBron was out and he was forced to be the guy. Last night, he was comfortable as the second guy on the team. And everybody else is kind of starting to, you know, find their place. Bullock hit threes. That's what he's there to do. Muscala, when he gets healthy, he's going to be able to come in and hit threes and spread the court a little bit more. So, but they came together as a team last night against the Rockets, who are extremely hot. And they won that game. And that could be a big confidence booster because at the end of the day, you know, what do you guys want to do? Do you guys just want to be bitter and not know what's going to happen in the offseason? Or do you want to get to the playoffs and make this season worth something and try to make a run at it? So I think that game could be a building block for Luke Walton and LeBron.
Yeah.
Because we know LeBron's going to bring it. But can he rally and inspire the rest of the guys to do the same? And looking at that, I know everybody's talking about AD and all this other stuff, but let's not forget, like, at the end of the day, Ingram and even Lonzo, I'm still somewhat iffy on Lonzo, they still have a lot of talent, and we already know what Kuzma is. So they still have guys that are very, very early in their career. And getting to the playoffs could mean a lot for them for the remainder of the 3 years of LeBron's contract. So, and LeBron has said it. He's in playoff mode already. I think his pride, his legacy, you know, is on the line. And I don't see him willing to give that up for the sake of trying to make a statement. So
yeah, I think he's going to definitely try to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with pretty much everything you said there. And you brought up Lonzo, and that's a huge point for me. I mean, you look at this defense, and he is a huge cog in their defensive system. Like, they are a much better defensive team with Lonzo on the court. And I really like the way Lonzo just kind of energizes the unit, and he really is crucial to not only defense but transition offense. He really helps out a lot. So he's going to be huge when he comes back for the Lakers as well. And I think at the end of the day, you're right. LeBron's in playoff mode. LeBron's just not going to allow this season to go down this way. And he's going to find a way, and the pieces around him fit enough. They're not perfect, but they fit enough that I think LeBron can definitely make a push for that final spot and get it. And then it will be really interesting to see a Golden State Los Angeles Lakers first round series.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. So when I think about LeBron and what he could possibly be thinking, is like, do I really want to play the Warriors in the first round and get put out in the first round of the playoffs? You know, how would that reflect on me, you know, as a player losing to this team again? You know, in context, we understand it, but history sometimes is devoid of context. They just look at the records. So, yeah. You know, so is LeBron going to be thinking like, well, if we don't make it, maybe it's not so bad because, you know, we get a high draft pick, whatever that is, and then I don't have to lose to the Warriors again with another team that we all know isn't talented enough to even really compete, even though they beat them once. But we still know at the end of the day they're not talented enough to beat them in the seven-game series. So real quick, I just got to ask you, what do you think about the Bucks?
What do I think?
They're
about
the number
the
one seed. Yeah, number one seed, Giannis. They got the coach and are they legit? Do you think they're legit?
I think they are legit. You know, I think they really are. Despite having only, you know, I know we love to count stars, and they only have one, but those pieces around him just fit so perfectly. Like, I was watching that Boston game last night, and those pieces just fit so perfectly that it's like, okay, you know what? Giannis is a physical beast that just, I mean, you're really not going to be able to totally stop Giannis because he's just one of a kind athlete. And so with that being said, you know, it's not like he is a 6'5 shooting guard that you can lock down. He's a 7-foot small forward that can do it all. So as long as Giannis is still Giannis, that creates for all those other shooters, and they are loaded with shooters. And I think they have enough to be for real, and really challenge for the NBA Finals. Now, at the end of the day, I don't know if I'd pick them number one. I might, just because Boston has a lot of issues and that seem to be internal. Toronto, I just don't trust. But I like what they're doing. I like how they're playing. But I just, something tells me I got to dig deeper and really, before I really trust them. And with Philadelphia, you know, we talked about it, all that talent in the world, but they're a team that seemed to implode. I mean, last year, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid were struggling in the playoffs last year against the Celtics, and they weren't even a great defensive team last year. They were solid, but they weren't great. So a team like Milwaukee could really do it. So yeah, I think they have as real a shot as any of those four teams to make the NBA Finals.
You know, I think, you know, everybody's in wait and see, but I want to be fair and respect the record. Just at least, you know, everybody want to talk about Philly and of course the Celtics, and deservedly so. But at the end of the day, the Bucks are still the number one seed, and you know, just to make sure that we're doing our making sure that we on our P's and Q's and doing our due diligence, you know, just make sure that we recognize, because I think this happened last year a little bit, right? When the Rockets were just obliviating everybody, and they were really talking about it. And then on our show, we were the first ones that were like, yo, like, is anybody seeing with the Rockets? I think they're for real. And so now I finally come around to the Bucks and was like, I watched that game today on League Pass, and just like you, I like what they're doing. And they've somewhat had all of these pieces, right? But they didn't have the coach. And now they have the coach that – we're seeing his impact. So he's been able to take them from wherever they were last year, I can't remember, to like the number one seed. And you could say part of that has to do with the Celtics falling down to a fifth and the Sixers falling for a fourth seed. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. So you know, talking playoffs, I just want to make sure that we at least acknowledge where they are in the East, so that, you know, they get their respect. Now it's up for them to keep it. Yeah, but you know. So anyway, that was it. That's all I had.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you brought up the Bucks, because the Bucks are phenomenal right now, and they are, you know, they're a team that could end up winning like 68 games in the regular season, and you're like, whoa, this team is next level good, and they got the highest point differential. Their average win is by 10 points per game. So not only are they winning, but they're winning comfortably against most teams in the league and have the best record. So yeah, I give them a real shot. And you know, at the end of the day, I'm somebody who believes in just the sheer physics of basketball, right? Like, so much of why LeBron is LeBron is because of his physical dominance. And you know, and Giannis is one of those guys that to me is just so physically, like, who in the Eastern Conference can really guard him? You can't put Embiid on him. You could put Kawhi on him, but there's still a size and a strength mismatch there. And so at the end of the day, I mean, really, Giannis is going to be Giannis against pretty much anyone in the NBA.
And sometimes teams sneak up on us that we don't see, because we're so accustomed to talking about the ones that everybody's talking about. Like the Detroit Pistons snuck them on everybody. And next thing you know, they were like a championship team. The Warriors, like, we saw it because they were kind of splashy with it. But still, at the end of the day, they were like, you know, it's the Warriors, whatever. Then next thing you know, here they are. So, you know, so sometimes you have teams like this that can kind of sneak up on you, that you acknowledge that they're winning, but you don't really take them as a legit threat. So, and Milwaukee, with just one change at head coach, could be another team that just sneak up on us, and Giannis could propel and become the new guy and the man in the East. And everybody's looking at the Sixers and Embiid and Ben Simmons and Kyrie and, you know, Brad Stevens, and here Giannis is just dominating, you know. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you brought it up. I always love to give the Bucks love, so I'm glad you brought that up. But thank you for coming on, Ken. As always, that is Ken of Dead End Hip Hop, Dead End Sports, Dead End Gaming, Dead End Everything. Ken, what are you up to in the Dead End world right now?
Right now, we just put out a trailer for a new podcast that we did. It was on the Instant Mike Salon that you guys may have heard, for the Frames Per Second. So that's our movie review and TV recap show that we're doing. And we are actually working on two more that we've been recording for. We recorded one Wednesday. And for the last 2 weekends, we've been recording another one. So we're almost ready to drop those out. But yeah, Frames Per Second is finally out. And so you can go subscribe to it. I think it should be in iTunes, and it's going to eventually push out everywhere. And we did the first one we did is If Bill Street Could Talk. So I'll have that up for you. And then, of course, the Oscar talk we did. We're going to be recapping, of course, Walking Dead. So there's that. I'm really excited about it. I think that's fun. We partnered with Nick from the No Disrespect podcast on it. So we kept finalized the idea that he brought to us last December. So I'm really excited to and Nick is also on the Dead End Sports podcast, by the way, for those listening. So so we got a real good chemistry. He's a bright young kid. So I'm really looking forward to working with him on that. So that's the latest, man, with everything that, you know, we're doing. So we're adding to the roster of shows. And yeah, like you said earlier in the upfront and just a few minutes ago, everything else is Dead End. So, but people just go to Dead End Podcast and they'll be able to find your show and everything else on there. So that's the easiest way to tell people to go check out what we're doing.
Yeah, man, check out Dead End. They're stacking up stars like it's Philadelphia out here. I love it. I love it. Be sure to check out their podcast. Like I said in another podcast, I mentioned this before, but I got to mention it since you're here, so I can give you the flowers while you can still smell them. And that is that your Dead End Walking Dead reviews are phenomenal. I love you guys talking about The Walking Dead. I gave up on that show, but I listened to your guys' podcast. I don't even know what's going on in the show outside of you guys, but man, I love it.
Oh, appreciate it, man. It's fun, man. We enjoy just kind of just talking through. Appreciate that. It's good to kind of hear that feedback, because you sometimes really never know how these things come across. But yeah, I appreciate it.
No problem, Ken. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm gonna have to have you back on soon.